the announcements?
You want me to get the announcements?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, great.
I have a, what's it already?
I got it.
All right, there we go.
I've got practice.
Oh, yeah.
Enough. Good evening. Glad everybody could be here today. Well, we will get started. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for how you love us. Thank you for what you did on the cross, Lord, and be with the seniors as they're going to camp today. Give them a safe trip and fun time at camp, and help them to think about you and set aside any distractions. Lord, be with this evening, and we can't wait to see what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's all stand and turn to 497. 497. Who is on the Lord's side? Amen. You may be seated and turn over to 21. Page 21. Onward, Christian soldiers.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to cross of Jesus going on before. As the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host doth flee. On then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Temptations ever at the shout of praise. Brothers, lift your voices, let your anthems rise. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, in hope and doctrine, one in charity. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng, when with all your voices in the triumph song, glory, laud, and honor unto Christ the King. This through countless ages, men and angels sing. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before.
Amen. Thank you for singing.
Good evening. Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church on this Sunday evening. The campers have gone to camp. They're on the way. I haven't heard where they got there yet. Probably are. I think they had evening services there. If not, they're looking for a church to go to services. But anyway, they're on their way. Be praying for them this week. Very important time in their lives. The senior campers can make some decisions there. And honor the Lord for the rest of their life. They can make some decisions. And so we're just praying that God will work in the camp this week. And then just some reminders here. On Wednesday night is our Bible preaching and prayer service. and there'll be no patch. Patch has been dismissed for the summer, you know, and they'll start up again in the fall. But we will have Bible preaching and prayer at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. And Saturday, we're going to be bus visitation, church-wide Operation Saturation. So we'll have the opportunity to come in to get together and to go out in the city and tell people the great story of our Lord and Savior. It's a good opportunity to come if you've never been on visitation and soul winning. Come and go with us, and you'll have a good time. I know Brother Martin and I did yesterday. They get to do all kinds of things. We made a hospital visit at Wesley Hospital. And Wesley right now is through some construction going on. If you can park near it, I don't know where you find place. But anyway, we walked in there, and of course we got inside. And Brother Martin and I are kind of alike in some ways. Once we got in, that's one thing. And then the maze. We got through to building 4. We started, building 7. And so we make our way and find building 4 upstairs, downstairs. Got out of the room and said, which direction do we go? We're left or right? Did we turn? Yeah. So anyway, we figured it out. We actually got out of there. So yeah, we're here today, aren't we? That's right. So every once in a while, just before church, as I was pulling in, I seen Brother Martin walking that way. I said, wonder if he forgot. No, he'll be back. So he came back. That's good. He asked me yesterday as we were getting out of the car, what should we call ourselves, Brother Moyer? And I said, yeah, I don't know. What, who are we, I said, but, after I was thinking about it, we look so much alike. I mean, yeah, we're so much, I think we ought to be called bookends. The bookends, I don't know, left or right-handed, it doesn't matter. But we kind of have the gray hair. He got more than I have, we got the beard and got the glasses. We're bookends, Okay, back to the announcements. That's one reason why I never like to do announcements. I forget where I'm at. Okay, that was Wednesday night. We're going to have. Oh, did I? No, yeah, no. I talked about church-wide visitation. That's what we were on, visitation. Okay, and then next Wednesday night. We will have services, and also there will be on June 17th. That's not this next Wednesday night. So sometimes you have to look at these announcements a little closer. Next Wednesday night, we already talked about that. We're having Bible preaching and prayer. At least I hope we do. I'm supposed to be preaching. I'm sure we'll have something. Okay. And then on June 17th, that's when all the permission slips and forms should be filled in, and money for the junior camp. That's coming up pretty quick. That's Wednesday, June 17th. For that, on Sunday, June 21st, it's Father's Day. It's one of my favorite days. We're going to have a special day, special music, a message, and gifts for all dads. And then the kids, the junior campers, are going to be leaving for camp on that day. So some fathers get an extra present. Kids are going to junior camp. I remember those days when I sent all my kids off to junior camp and senior camp, and that day was always fun. But anyway, that will be on June the 21st. Then June 22nd through June 26th, is youth camp there in Joplin, Missouri. And then on Friday, June the 26th, Nathan and Katie in Florida are going to get married. Could have did it up here, but I'm sure I understand the bride gets to choose, right? And that's what the deal is. I know that sometimes, when Connie and I, the bride got to choose where we got married at. But since we were both going to Bethel, it was no problem. Okay. So we're looking forward to that, and I'm sure he is. And that's on June 26th. Then Sunday, July 5th, U.S. celebration with grilling and chilling and games and fireworks over at the pastor's house. And hopefully his house won't get burned down. From the times I've been over there and everything, it's good. That'll be at pastor's house. It starts at 5 and then ends after dark somewhere. Anyway, those are some of the announcements. And we do want to welcome the Martins into our church family. Like I said this morning in Sunday school, I heard his Sunday school message preaching about the church and how important the church was. He got so convicted, they joined. That's about all the announcements for now. Take time and turn to the back of it and look at all the people on the prayer list. Prayer is important. It's an important part of our church. And so we see Brother Heston. Russell is in Wesley Hospital. That's who we went and visited. And he is still in the hospital. Supposed to have heart catheterization on Monday if they could get it ready in time. But anyway, so be praying for him and his situation. And there are people here on the back of the list. And my wife's doing pretty good. We need to call the doctor on Monday to make sure the medicines and everything are doing what they're supposed to. She's having a little bit of some side effects. But anyway, let's remember all these in prayer on the backside. So it's time now to all stand, and let's have a time of shaking hands and visiting for a little bit here, and then we'll take up our evening offering. Thank you. Okay, everybody find your place. Let's bow our heads for take up the offering. I see all the ushers are there. Okay, let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before your throne this evening, Lord, we're thankful. We serve a great God. And Lord, we just want to magnify, glorify your name tonight. I pray that you be with Brother Martin as he brings the message. I pray you work, your Holy Spirit will work among us. And Lord, that we'll know that it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, I pray that you just bless the offering this evening, that it might be used for your honor and glory. We know, Lord, there's needs in this world, needs in our church. Father, I pray that those needs be met. Lord, I know You're the great God that can control everything. So, Father, we just give you the glory and the praise tonight. We ask it, Lord, we do ask that you'd be with our campers as they're away and they're traveling. We pray that they have safe traveling mercies. And, Lord, your name might be glorified this week as Brother Jett preaches to them. And we just ask that you'd have your will and way now. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Let's stand one more time and turn to 482. Faith is the victory.
Encamped along the hills of mighty Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night indwells glory skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all your strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. He tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they shining shield. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
On the last,
to him that overcomes the foe, while raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name fast in hand. When onward from the hills of light our hearts with love aflame, so the host of night in Jesus' conquering name. glory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world.
Amen. Thank you for your singing. You may be seated. Thank you, ma'am. All right. In heavenly armor, in heavenly armor we enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us can stand. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord, and we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. And raises the standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. Sorry, I'm all kinds of messed up. Wow, sorry, I got all messed up. Thank you. Sorry about that. I'm sorry.
The other bookend. It's a scary thing to stand up here and look at 500 people and try to sing, I tell you. You thought there's only about 50 tonight, but when you're singing, it's just magnified. And if you look at some of you, it really scares you. And so it's just a amen. It is good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Well, the preacher's out of town. Y'all want to just go eat pizza? I mean, you know, we can do our own thing now, right? I mean, sheep gone astray, and we'll go do what, turn to our own ways, do whatever we want. Amen. All right. I do want to thank Brother Moyer for Sunday school class. I learned something today. I'd never seen it before. On a serious note, in Luke chapter 6, he was talking about the Beatitudes, and the Lord was talking to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 5, he's talking to the multitude. I never saw that distinction before. And it's really profound because we do have messages that God has for the multitudes. For example, you must be born again. And then we have messages for the disciples to grow in Christ. And so there's interesting text and perception on that. So Brother Moyer is worthy of your attention listening to. You pick up those little nuggets and realize he's been studying. Amen? And that's good. Not bad for a bookend. And so not only did we wearing the same color suit tonight, both have platinum colored hair. Both have beards, but when he was in the hospital, we walked at the same pace. And we talked about how in the past we both have gone visiting with Brother Ted Swope, and you cannot keep up with him. And you follow him around is a good exercise. Did I say that okay? And so anyway, Brother Swope would get out of the van and take off, and you go, I'd like to go with you. And his son does the same thing. And so you just have to try to keep up with those ever-ready bunny guys who are wound up and just go. I'm kind of excited about tonight's message and a little scared, too, because Brother Moyer mentioned that last Sunday in Sunday school, I taught on the church and got it under conviction and joined it. Tonight I'm preaching on marriage, and if I come under conviction, I might even get married this week. So it's exciting and scary both. I don't know. I'm not going to ask her publicly if she'd do it again. I'm not quite that foolish. But my daddy told me to marry a rich girl so you can love her just as easy as a poor one. And I did that. Yeah, so I invite your attention tonight, if I may, to the Old Testament book of the Song of Solomon, chapter number 8. The Song of Solomon, chapter number 8. It's on page 874 if you have the same kind of Bible. But otherwise, yeah, just follow the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, just before you get to Isaiah chapter number 8. And would you stand with me, please? We'll read a couple of verses here tonight. Take these two verses as our text. The unbroken love between a husband and a wife. The Song of Solomon chapter number 8, verse 6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned or despised or rejected. In other words, the love between a husband and wife is not for sale, and it's not for sale. Sometimes we say something's not for sale. Somebody said, I'd like to buy that frame. You know, it's not for sale. And then they offer us a lot of money. Well, maybe at that price it is. But not the love between a husband and wife. It's not for sale, and it's not for sale. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, thank you for tonight and the folks that purpose to come out. And we do thank you for the opportunity and the responsibility to come out to your house on Sunday night in this Lord's Day. And again, pray for those that are traveling. You might keep them safe and trouble-free if you would. But we also thank you for meeting with us tonight. And pray that your will be done among these families. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Song of Solomon isn't often preached or taught from, but it's a beautiful book. It's a beautiful poem, written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by King Solomon of old. The Bible says he was the wisest man that ever lived during his time frame. I told Brother Moyer yesterday the only reason time I've ever questioned his wisdom is when I found out he had 800 concubines and wives. I'm not sure about the wisdom of that, except I guess there's somebody to always go shopping where he can watch a John Wayne Western at home and not be bothered by it. But I did read a book once I had to study for the degree I was working on, and in this book, this man said that the reason Solomon is so wise was because of all the wives that he had. And every time he married a wife, he took her wisdom unto him. So the more wives he had, the wiser he became. I guess I'll just stay ignorant with one. I don't need that many. But there's unbroken love between husband and wife. There's twofold teaching fundamentally to Solomon, song that he writes here. One, it's an allegory. In other words, it's a typology of something deeper than is being taught. what's being taught is an actual love between Solomon and his wife, the Shulamite woman, and talk about their deep love and affection that they have for one another. It's a beautiful poem to read over and over again. You find something in it different every time you read it, I think. And then at the same time, it's a typology, if you will, of an allegory of the future marriage of the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride in heaven. And boy, it's a richer, deeper meaning to it. But tonight, we're just going to stay with this thing here on earth with our families that we have, and with young men who want to get married one day and be happy like the rest of us. Last Sunday afternoon, I believe that it seemed obvious anyway that the theme that the pastor gave to the men that did the popcorn preaching, if you will, took a few minutes each, had to do with love. They each approached that subject from a different perspective. Brother Phillips' message brought an interesting presentation in that he went and started using Greek words to describe different kinds of love. He found in the Bible agape and phileo and eros and these different types of love based upon the Greek language. And so then at the fellowship, I walked up to him. Brother Phillips, that was interesting. I said, but I don't know any Greek. I know two Greek men, but I don't know any language. I said, I'm real simple, but I do know different types of love, I told him. Well, I had his attention. And he goes like, oh? I said, yeah, there's the love that a bird has for a worm. And then there's the love that a cat has for a bird. And then there's the love that a dog has for a cat. And so there are different types of loves. And I told Philip, I said, I was with you. I don't know Greek, but I was with you. Amen. But at any rate, this poem, this love poem, is beautiful. And he was exactly right. He made mention of one type of love that's in the scriptures, and it's the difference between love and lust. And there's a difference between love and lust. This world confuses the two very, very, very often. It confuses what they think is love with nothing more than a physical attraction. But here's a little poem. Love is silent, but lust is a roar. Love is a sacrifice, but lust always wants more. Love is giving, lust always takes. Love is mending a heart that lust always breaks. There's a tremendous amount of difference between love and lust. If we want a definition of true love, we need to go to the scripture. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible defines charity, defines love this way. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Then he defines charity this way. Charity suffereth long. It is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, which will be the scripture, then that which is in part shall be done away. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. So when the Holy Spirit uses Solomon to write this great poem, he's talking about this great charity, this great love that God has presented to us, and this love that's not of the world, but it's of God. The love of the world is an enmity against God, but the love of Christ is deep, and it's rich, and it works, and it's lasting. What enables couples to stay together for so long? It's a biblical love. What enables us to stay married for over half a century without me being murdered? I'm maimed, but I'm not murdered. It's a biblical love, because in marriage, there's compromise constantly, day in and day out. It's always a give and take. It's always a compromise. It's always a trying to please the other one, at the same time finding some satisfaction yourself. But it never deliberately overrides the other one. It never goes against the other one in order to gain itself and what it wants, because then that would be hurtful. That'd be sinful. And so in this text, Solomon brings forth a dramatic picture, beautifully painted, of what true biblical love is like. So when they say in verse number 6, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave, the coals are ever as coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would not be utterly contemned. I want to look at these verses tonight and expound on it a little bit. First, it says that it's set me as a seal upon thine heart, a seal upon thine heart, and a seal upon thine arm. Now, the seal is that great indication of sealing a letter. Or we look at the Bible as the seven sealed books in the Old Testament. Even your King James Bible, even if it's not done that way physically anymore, we see seven seals, seven bands binding it together, representing the perfection of God's word. And so seals are a lasting thing. They're something that are serious. We have seven sealed judgments in the book of Revelation. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10 says, our salvation is sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Ghost of God. So it says something that's permanent. And when they're writing here, to set my seal upon thine heart as a seal upon thine arm, we're talking about a permanent relationship between a husband and wife. Permanent. A permanent relationship. I'm not going in tonight. It's not my place. I'm not the pastor. I know he's taught on it much. I haven't heard it, but I know he has. But we have biblical requirements for marriage for Christians. We have biblical allowances, never requirements for divorce, but allowances. Therefore, we also have biblical allowance and criteria for remarriage. But in the beginning, it was not so. And so there's a permanence that should come with this type of love. It goes beyond what takes place at the courthouse. It goes beyond what takes place at an altar. It goes beyond what takes place before a preacher, before a JP. It's something that's real. It's something that's serious. It's a love. And this love binds us. The love brings us together. It keeps us together. It's a strong thing. And so it's a seal upon the arm, representing her husband's strength to encircle and protect her. There's times when my wife just needed me to put my arms around her and give her a big old Texas bear hug, amen? Because she needs to feel that security, and women need that security. Like right now, we have a lot of security. We're living in somebody else's apartment upstairs. Our stuff is in three different storage units. That's security. And she's so pleased with it. This is where you do this. She's going, no. But that security is needed between a husband and wife. It needs to be real. It needs to be consistent. It needs to be something that they always know is there no matter what takes place. It says also in verse 6, for love is strong as death. Strong as death. Why? Because love is death is final. It's a finality to life. Nobody except Lazarus and Jesus have been raised from the dead, and I'm not either one, and neither are you. And so when we die, we're dead. We're dead. And we don't just swoon away and cool off in some grave somewhere and resurrect. But when we die, our spirit is gone from us. And if we're saved, we'll be absent from the body, we'll be present with the Lord. When we die, life ceases. And it says clearly that the love between this man and this woman, between his husband and his wife, between Solomon and Shunammite woman, is as strong as death. That love between this husband and wife cannot be broken. It's as strong and as sincere and as final as death itself. When you say I do, it's done. Right. I don't mean that lightly. It's done. It's forever. It's an eternity thing. And the only thing to separate it, we'll look at here in a minute, is either death itself by one of the partners, or we'll look at something else that can bring about a separation between husband and wife if we're not careful. He says here also that the love is like this between the husband and wife, that jealousy is cruel as the grave. This jealousy that is as cruel as the grave. The grave is jealous if you try to take its death from it, if you try to take someone from it. And so what it means is that is this jealousy is a serious thing. You don't mess with my wife. You don't mess with her husband. There's something there that's real. There's a jealousy there it's a biblical jealousy. It's a real jealousy. It's not a carnal jealousy. It's a love jealousy. It's a biblical love jealousy that when you sense something coming between you, you get jealous about that and you rise up to defend it, if you will. I remember one time years ago, my wife and I, since we're Christians, we don't argue. We just have intense moments of fellowship. And one time we're having an intense moment of fellowship in the home, and we had the bedroom door closed during the day, and we were having this discussion. And of course, I was not winning, but I was putting up a good fight, you know. And anyway, we were getting the volume was increasing, and you probably never experienced that, but anyway, that can happen. And so we were having this intense moment of fellowship. One of the girls broke into the room, opened the door, and got on to us about arguing with each other and carrying on. And my wife turned on her and said, "You get out of this room and leave us alone. My husband and I are trying to work something out." Man, she walked out and went, "Yeah, yeah, tell her, yeah, we're working this out." But that jealousy, not even the children are going to interrupt it. None of your children are going to come between us, because someday they're all going to grow up and get married, and they have. And those four girls have grown up and got married. And they married ugly guys, don't look like much, but they're pretty good men. And they've taken our daughters away, but that's the way it's supposed to be. That's natural. But we're still here. We're still together. And there's one thing we've had in every home that we've ever had, and we're going to have another one in the next home that we have, and that's a swing. You know, you can't have a good marriage without a swing. You got to be able to sit on that swing and talk or something like that. Now, I can't get on a swing. I get woozy just on a swing. I can't do roller coaster rides. One of our daughters, Catherine, said, "Daddy, if you're a real man, you ride a roller coaster." I said, "I am a real man, and I don't ride roller coasters." I get woozy on a swing, and she loves the swing. She can drink coffee and swing and talk all at the same time. She's ambidextrous, and so she can do all that. She's bipolar. She can do all those things. So I know a lot of big words are not Greek, but I'm sitting on the chair next to the swing, and I'm watching her do this and trying to listen to her. I'm thinking, "You're going to spill that coffee," and she never spills a drop. It's just of great value. The only place she's ever spilled coffee is in my truck. But I've gotten over it. It doesn't bother me anymore. But there's got to be something between you. Hey, that's stronger than death. The jealousy rises up and defends it. And also said the coals are ever coals of fire. Coals of fire. Fire is a very consuming thing. Fire is a very, obviously, a very hot thing. And the love between husband and wife will be a very all-consuming thing. I'll be consumed with one another's passion, with one another's love, with the things that you have in common with each other. I'll be something there as coals and coals of fire. You don't mess with coals of fire. This is deep theology. If you do, you get burned. And see, you came and you learned something tonight, didn't you? But you mess with coals of fire, listen, you're consuming something upon yourself. And this love between the husband and wife is the coals of fire, which have a most vehement flame, a vehement flame. This is serious business, because this flame that began when you all first fell in love, when you first got married, should still be there, even greater today than it was then. Our love today, after over 50 years, that's half a century, well, it is greater, more on fire, more consuming, more real, more final than it was in the beginning. In the beginning, she just fell in love with a strong, handsome, tall, good-looking, smart guy. And I fell in love with a blue-eyed blonde. I almost made a mistake preaching. Almost said she was beautiful. Still is beautiful. Whew, I was close. She was, always will be beautiful. Let me move on. Verse 7. This love between husband and wife, it says in verse 7, that many waters cannot quench love. It throws much water on it of this world, much contention upon it from the waters of this world, much animosity of the waters of this world, much advertising from the waters of this world, much temptation from the waters of this world, and you cannot quench genuine biblical love between a husband and wife. It can take it every time. Come on, pour the water on it. This flame's not going out. Pour the water of temptation on it. It's not going out. Pour that water of resistance on it. It's not coming out. Pour that water of whatever that you have to try to quench that love, and it will not go out because the flame is a vehement flame. It is strong. It can endure all. And think of a fire, a massive forest fire, where time and again planes and helicopters fly by and dump water and dump water and dump water, and the flame just keeps going and going and grows with the wind. And the love between a husband and wife, that vehement flame, should be that same strength, if you will, that same type of thing. It says in verse 7, neither can the many waters quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Even when the floods come, it won't overwhelm it. It'll still be strong. When the storms go by and the floods go by, the love is still there. Testimony after testimony we could give tonight, and you could too, of the years in your life as husband and wife where you've come against floods and come against waters that could have destroyed your family, and you've seen other families and marriages destroyed by it, but you're still stand strong. Are you any better than them? No, but we thank the Lord, if you will, that no matter what happens, hey, we're just going to keep going. Right. I remember a young couple came in the office years ago and pastoring Kerrville, and man, they were having it out. And while they were in the office, they started hollering at each other and carrying on and getting all excited. And so I just let them go. I just sit back and open a book and started reading it. And pretty soon they realized I was just sitting back reading a book. Oh, we're sorry, preacher. I said, no, that's fine. Go ahead. Finish your argument. Well, no, we're sorry. And they said, what are we supposed to do? I said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go home, and you're going to have a word of prayer together. You're going to buy a pizza or something, take it home and eat it. You're going to enjoy the evening, and they're going to meet with you again tomorrow night. Well, they came back again tomorrow night, the next night. So how's it going? I said, we're fine. They said, do you know how it worked? I said, everything looks better the next day. You know, a just man falls 7 times. Yeah, but riseth up again. The victory goes to the one that gets up one more time, they fall down. The victory in the marriage life comes to those that hit it one more day, one more week, one more year. Just keep going and going and going, getting up and going again. Well, what a blessing that is. And then it says in verse 7, this is really interesting. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly condemned. You can't buy it. You can't buy this kind of love. You give all the substance of your house, but it'd be utterly condemned, other rejected or despised, because it's not for sale. You can't buy this kind of love. You can't purchase it at any cost. It's not for sale. You can't purchase it. You can't sell it. It's not for sale. It can't be quenched. And it's just something so strong, it's just unbelievable. Is there, though, anything that can destroy this kind of love between a husband and wife? I think there's 2 things. One is death itself. When death comes, while the other one's deceased, you know something about it, that love is still there. Something about it, some folks will never remarry because the love they had for the other one, they just grieve. I guess oftentimes why when one of the spouses dies before the other one, that if the wife dies first, the husband doesn't live nearly as long as if the man dies first, because we need her. She's our helpmate. She completes us. And consequently, it seems like the ladies can make it longer without us, and we can't without them, but we complement and complete each other. Somebody says, the longer you're married, the more you look like each other. Don't put that off on her. She's too beautiful for that, amen? What you're looking at here is the lady and the tramp. And I tell her that all the time. I said, we're just the lady and the tramp. This is a classic example of the lady and the tramp. And by the first time I saw her, I was speaking Greek. I was going, blah, 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 blah. Man, almost said she was beautiful. Well, she was then, she still are. Did you ever fall in love at first sight? I did. Somehow, someway, I knew that I was going to marry her because she told me. But there really is a great love there. In all seriousness, it's such a great thing. I am sitting here looking for my text, but I was going the wrong direction. Now I'm going the right direction. There's a portion of the poem, I love this poem, the Song of Solomon. There's a couple of verses I want to leave you with tonight. Look at me in chapter 2. I've just highlighted a couple of them. He just says in verse number 5, stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I'm sick of love. Verse 16, my love, beloved is mine and I'm his. There's just something about that phrasing. It's just beautiful. And it's just a lightness and a joy about it between a husband and wife. But outside death, there is something that can really tear up a marriage. It's in verse number 15 of chapter 2. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. While marriage is strong as flames, and waters cannot quench it, while she finds comfort in his strength, and he finds comfort in her beauty and in her love, there's something about a marriage and love, and that is a tender thing. Oftentimes, we can face the big stuff and get victory over it. Oftentimes, we can take a serious subject and lay it on the table and fight the subject instead of each other. But it's the little foxes that get to you day in and day out. It's the little things that irritate. It's the little things that build. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our grapes are tender. Our love is a tender thing. And little foxes can get into a vineyard and eat those grapes one at a time. Pretty soon the vineyard's gone. It's non-productive. And we need to be careful of the daily things that keeps coming our way as far as husband and wife doesn't eat away at the marriage to the point where it disintegrates it. We need to be careful about it. Somebody says the only thing really challenging about marriage is that it's so daily. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day. Every day. You say being repetitious, that's because every day. And the little foxes come and they spoil it. Sometimes if we're wise, we can identify the little foxes and take a 12-gauge shotgun, boom, and shoot them, get rid of them. But it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Sometimes it's a preference. Sometimes it's a hope that's been prolonged. Sometimes, I know you'll probably never experience this, but sometimes it's an in-law. An in-law can get between a husband and wife and show preference. Sometimes children can do it. Sometimes we can have a favorite son or a favorite daughter. Don't do that. You ask Leah, every time I see one of the granddaughters, I say, how's my favorite granddaughter, don't I? And I'll hug her. And they all feel that way because they're all my favorite. And whichever one's with me at the time is my favorite. And so we need to be careful about that with our children. We don't actually play favorites, but they're all our favorite. We need to be careful about these little foxes. It's the little foxes get in and really spoil the vines because that love between a husband and wife, those are tender grapes. Those are tender vines. And it can take a storm. It can take rain. It can take a hard wind. And the vines can sway in that stuff and still grow and mature. But it's the little foxes that come along and nibble away little by little. And if you're not careful, it's those little things that really aggravate. It's like a thorn in the flesh that you can't get rid of. And it's those little foxes that bother you. And somebody says, well, Brother Martin, how do you know what they are? Ask her, if you're brave enough. One time, can I tell this? The list? That means okay. She thought it'd be really neat for us each to make a list of what we didn't like about the other one. Well, okay. So we separated, got back together with our list, and I read her list, and I read her list, and I read her list. And then she said, let me see the list I made for you. And it was as blank as that page right there. But Lily went, I put nothing on there against her. Well, man, she just melted. It was great. I got a hug and a hamburger and a kiss that night. A That's good counsel from the pulpit. Yeah. So did you have anything against her on the list? Well, yeah, but I kept it up here. Because there's so little foxes that get to you. Huh? Let me ask you something seriously. Do you have some little foxes in your marriage? Need to take care of it tonight. And if your love is as strong as this, where you set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals are ever coals of fire, which have a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for the love, it would be utterly contemned, be rejected, because it's not for sale, and it's not for sale. Let's stand for prayer, please. Father, in Christ's name, I pray you take this simple message tonight, and I pray that it helps somebody. Maybe there's a couple tonight are going through some things. Father, would you give them victory? Maybe somebody tomorrow will face something as a husband, as a wife, in their family. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's children. Maybe it's health. Whatever it might be, Father, would you give them victory? Would you help them to face it together? Would you help them to fight their problem and not themselves? Father, please, may we have a biblical love one for another as husband and wife. May it be real, may it be genuine, and may it be forever. May your will be done in our salvation, please, in Jesus' name, amen. If she plays, you come tonight. Let's just spend some time at the altar asking God for his grace, his mercy.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for him to have his way with thee. Would you have him make you free and follow at his call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all?
Kneeling before the Lord.
Would you have him save you so that you never fall?
Thank you for your family.
Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best.
Is it care for these tonight? Maybe there's a son or a daughter here tonight, and you've been one of those little foxes around the house causing some challenges. Why don't you come tonight and ask God to forgive you and go home with a new spirit towards mom and dad?
Would you in his service labor always at your best? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you want to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for him to have his way with thee.
Well, amen. Appreciate you coming tonight. I tell you, maybe some man needs to take his wife from here and take her out on a date tonight. I don't know. And amen. Brother Dilly, don't laugh. Hey, you need to take her out. And maybe some of your wives need to go home and make an apple pie for somebody. Interesting expressions you see up here, you know. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Appreciate you listening tonight. I pray for our campers, if you will, and pray Wednesday night. Brother Morey will be preaching Wednesday night. And pray for us. We're flying out Wednesday to go to granddaughter's wedding in Florida. I don't know why they can't get married in the same county we live in, but anyway, we'll be flying out. I'm not flying. I've got a pilot in the plane. But anyway, Brother Jay, appreciate you coming tonight. Amen. And good to see different folks. Brother Dilly, I've been picking on him. Why don't you dismiss us in prayer tonight, Brother Dilly?